Si nos vamos ahora para los Estados Unidos, donde está ardiendo el tema Trump, nos atiende el fiscal Daniel Goldman. Él fue consejero de los demócratas en la Cámara de Representantes en la primera investigación sobre el impeachment, la destitución de Donald Trump. Esta investigación fue sobre los esfuerzos del presidente Trump para presionar a Ucrania para investigar a Joe Biden, reteniendo la ayuda de Estados Unidos al país. La Cámara impugnó a Trump por abuso de poder y obstrucción. Trump luego fue absuelto en el Senado. Pero ahora lo que le aparece a Donald Trump es una muchachita de 26 años. Se llama Cassidy Hutchinson, la persona más cercana al jefe de gabinete, que a su vez es la persona más cercana al presidente de los Estados Unidos. Él se llama Mark Meadows y ella se llama Cassidy Hutchinson. Y la primera pregunta para Mr. Goldman, agradeciendo su tiempo en la W, es ¿a dónde puede llegar las revelaciones de Cassidy? Mr. Goldman, thank you very much for your time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
How far do you think could go this new comments of Mrs. Cassidy Hutchinson on the Capitol Hill episode of January that she's telling to authorities in your country? What could happen with this testimony?
Well, this testimony was a very damaging testimony to Donald Trump and to his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Cassidy Hutchinson worked for Mark Meadows, and she was at the center of so many events leading up to January 6th and then on January 6th. And what she testified to the committee on the select committee on January 6th is that Donald Trump was right in the middle of everything that went on January 6th, that he knew that the crowd was going to be violent. He knew they had weapons. He knew they were going to march to the Capitol, and he knew they were going to march to the Capitol with their weapons. And he not only didn't try to stop that, but that he wanted to go with them to the Capitol. And then when they got violent, he expressed support for their violence. And when they threatened Mike Pence, his vice president, he expressed support for that too. So what Cassidy Hutchinson painted in great detail is that Donald Trump was a very central part of the activities and the riots and the violence on January 6th. And now this information is out there. And the committee has done a very good job of explaining exactly what happened on January 6th. And ultimately, the Department of Justice will have to decide whether all of this evidence taken together is enough to prosecute Donald Trump, Mark Meadows, or other people close to the president, maybe Rudy Giuliani included.
Bueno, lo que nos dice es que este testimonio fue muy dañino para el presidente Donald Trump, porque recordemos que Cassidy Hutchinson fue asesora del jefe de gabinete de la Casa Blanca de Donald Trump, Mark Meadows, y ella trabajaba para él y era muy cercano, estaba en el centro de muchos eventos que ocurrieron antes del 6 de enero y el 6 de enero, así que lo que dijo en ese comité compromete mucho al presidente Donald Trump, porque ella asegura que él estaba en la mitad de todo lo que pasó ese día, sabía que toda esta turba iba a actuar de manera violenta, que tenían armas, que se iban a dirigir al Capitolio con sus armas, y no solo no trató de pararlos, sino que quería ir con ellos, y que cuando se pusieron violentos, mostró y expresó ese apoyo a que lo hicieron, también expresó apoyo a que se volvieran violentos en contra del vicepresidente Mike Pence, y nos dice que Cassidy contó con mucho detalle que el presidente, expresidente Donald Trump, fue sentado central en todo este tema de los disturbios que se vieron ese 6 de enero y en la violencia que se presentó ahí. Así que la información está disponible para el Departamento de Justicia, para que ellos miren si este trabajo que hizo el comité del 6 de enero explicando lo que pasó, pues es suficiente para procesar al presidente Donald Trump, a Mark Meadows e incluso a otros asesores o personas cercanas al expresidente como Rudy Giuliani.
Figuras como Rudy Giuliani y Mark Meadows, Grace, como usted lo menciona, pues habrían pedido un perdón presidencial ante el ataque al Capitolio. Si se confirma esta información, ¿qué mensaje enviarían estas peticiones desde un punto de vista judicial? Mr. Goldman, people like Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows have allegedly asked for a presidential pardon surrounding January 6th. If this were to be confirmed, what kind of message would this send from a legal point of view?
Well, it shows that Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows knew that they did something wrong and potentially committed a crime. Because why would you ask for a presidential pardon if you didn't think that you did anything wrong? So it is a piece of evidence that very much goes to their own knowledge and their own understanding of what they were doing. And it shows that they did not actually think that they were doing something legitimate, that they were actually trying to challenge the election through proper legal channels. It shows that they knew they were trying to overturn the election through illegal means. And so it's a very important piece of evidence to show exactly what was in their minds.
Lo que muestra es que tanto Giuliani como Meadows sabían que hicieron algo mal, que cometieron un crimen, porque ¿por qué van a pedir un perdón presidencial si uno no cree que hizo algo mal o cometió un delito? Esto es una evidencia de que ellos tenían conocimiento y entendimiento de lo que estaban haciendo y muestra que ellos saben que estaban haciendo algo que no era legítimo, que estaban tratando de retar las elecciones no solo por la vía legal, sino también ilegal, estaban tratando de voltearlas en un procedimiento ilegal y por eso que usted señala, Mónica, es una evidencia también importante que los autoincrimina.
Mónica, pregúntele por favor si él cree que el Departamento de Justicia tiene evidencia suficiente para abrir un caso contra Trump y cómo hacer para que eso no aparezca como que quieren evitar que Trump sea candidato, que no se vea motivado políticamente.
Mr. Goldman, do you think that the DOJ has enough evidence in order to prosecute ex-President Trump? And how would it be possible to avoid to make a connection between him running for the presidency in 2024 and being prosecuted for January 6th?
I do personally think that from what we've seen in the January 6th committee and that has come out in these hearings, that there is enough evidence to prosecute Donald Trump for trying to overturn the election, for conspiring with others to interfere with the election, the proper lawful functioning of government. We don't know everything. Obviously, the committee has only presented some evidence. None of these witnesses have been cross-examined by a defense lawyer, for example, which would happen in a criminal trial. And we don't know what all the other witnesses have said. So there would still be a lot of work for the Department of Justice to do to make sure that the story we see is the actual story and can be presented to a jury properly. But from what we've seen, I think all of the requirements, all of the proof is there to charge him with a crime. I don't expect that any charges would happen until probably next spring. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done before you can move forward with criminal charges. And then because of the possibility that Trump would run for election in 2024, I do think that the Department of Justice would want to make a decision one way or another by next spring before the primary season really gets going in full swing. But if he's charged and he has a pending trial, he can still run for president. And in fact, I think it was more likely that he will run for president if he's charged, because he will hope to delay his trial. he will hope to win the election. And then if he becomes a president, then the Department of Justice will probably have to make a decision about whether to dismiss the charges or whether to delay a trial until after he becomes president. His best defense to criminal charges is probably to be the president. So he will certainly try.
Pues él cree personalmente, por lo que ha visto en lo del comité del 6 de enero y todas las audiencias, que hay evidencia suficiente para procesar al expresidente Donald Trump y que él pues estuvo involucrado o por lo menos tuvo esa intención de voltear los resultados electorales y conspirar con otros para interferir en las elecciones y el funcionamiento correcto del mismo, pero nos dice que el comité ahora mismo lo que hizo fue presentar esta evidencia. Ahora tiene el Departamento de Justicia mucho trabajo por hacer, contrastar estos testigos que se hace en un juicio criminal. Entonces ahora vamos a ver qué sigue. Dice que la mejor defensa que puede tener el presidente Donald Trump es lanzarse a la presidencia, porque nos dice que si gana la presidencia, pues este caso se aplaza para después de la presidencia o simplemente le levantan los cargos. Así que lo que él, hay más posibilidades o probabilidades que él se lance a la presidencia si el Departamento de Justicia sigue adelante con un juicio en contra de él.
Sabemos que el testimonio de Casey Hutchinson es muy importante, pero ¿bastaría solo con ese testimonio para procesar al expresidente Donald Trump? But, Mr. Goldman, Casey Hutchinson testimony is very important, but will just her testimony be enough to prosecute former President Trump?
No, you would need to put all of the different evidence together. Her testimony is helpful, but there's other testimony that in many ways is actually even more powerful against Donald Trump. And I point to two pieces of evidence. One is the phone call that Trump had with Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, where Trump told him to just find enough votes so that Trump can win the Georgia election. That shows that he doesn't actually care about the proper legal results. He just wants to force the election to be overturned through any means necessary. And then the other piece of evidence that I think is very powerful is when he told the Deputy Attorney General for the Department of Justice, after that person, Richard Donahue, said that all of Trump's allegations of fraud were not true and not supported by any evidence, Trump then responded to him and said, well, just say the election was corrupt, and then the Republican congressman and I will take it from there, which also shows that he actually doesn't care about whether or not the election was properly counted or was fair and was without fraud. He just wanted some reason to overturn the election by any means necessary. So those, to me, are the two most important pieces of evidence that Donald Trump knew exactly what he was doing, and that was trying to overturn the election, not that he was trying to lawfully challenge the results of the election. He didn't care whether the results were valid or not. He just wanted to remain president. And he did everything he could to try to remain president, including ultimately inciting the violence on January 6th.
Bueno, nos dice que se necesita mucho más que ese testimonio que dio Casey Hutchinson, y hay evidencia que él considera mucho más poderoso que ese testimonio, aunque por supuesto ese testimonio ayuda. Por ejemplo, hay una llamada que tuvo el presidente Donald Trump con Brad Raffensperger que le dice que pues encontrara los votos en Georgia para ganar en ese estado las elecciones, y no le importaba que el resultado fuera legal o fuera transparente, simplemente básicamente quería forzar y voltear los resultados para que él fuera electo. Nos dice que hay otra conversación y otra evidencia que es muy importante contra un fiscal general. Nos dice que en el que él dice que los alegatos de Trump de fraude no eran verdad, que no había ninguna evidencia para respaldar lo que el presidente Donald Trump dijo. Y pues la respuesta del presidente Donald Trump es: no importa, simplemente señale que las elecciones fueron corruptas y lo retomaremos de ahí. Y eso pues es una señal muy clara de que al expresidente Donald Trump no le importaban los resultados de las elecciones, ni que hubiesen sido justas o si hubiese habido fraude, sino que necesitaba simplemente alguna razón, alguna excusa para cambiar el curso de las elecciones y decir que él ganó. No le importaba la validez del resultado, sino quedarse en la Casa Blanca como presidente, e hizo todo para tratar de intentarlo, incluida esa violencia que se vio el 6 de enero en el Capitolio.
Los seguidores del expresidente Donald Trump han tratado de hacer preguntas o elevar preguntas sobre la credibilidad del testigo, sobre la credibilidad de su testimonio. ¿Usted cree que esta estrategia está funcionando o podría funcionar en el largo plazo? Mr. Trump's supporters have tried to raise questions about Ms. Hutchinson's reliability, about her credibility. Do you think this strategy is working or could work in the long run?
No, I think that they're trying to do anything they can to reduce the damage of her testimony. She seemed like a very credible witness. She and as a former prosecutor, I judge credibility of witnesses all the time. And one thing I noted about her is that she didn't say that she knew more than she did. In fact, there were times when she said she didn't know what happened. She didn't know what was said because either she was not there or she did not hear from anybody else. So the fact is she relayed exactly what she heard and what she saw and what she knew, and she didn't reach to say what she didn't know. And that is a very strong indication of credibility. The Trump and Trump world has no choice but to try to attack her credibility. Because that is the last resort for anyone trying to avoid accountability. But she was a very credible witness, and what she said is very consistent with what all the other witnesses have said. And so when you put it all together, her testimony is very well supported and very credible, and the arguments that she is not credible are the desperate arguments of a guilty person.
Bueno, lo que nos dice es que esta estrategia no cree que funcione a largo plazo, Lucas, porque lo que está haciendo Trump y sus aliados es precisamente eso, hacer lo que sea para reducir el daño que pueda hacer este testimonio de la señora Cassidy Hutchinson. Nos dice que ella es un testigo creíble por lo que él pudo ver. Él es un exfiscal federal y él conoce y sabe cuando un testigo es creíble o no. Y ella, cuando estaba testificando, no dijo más o pretendía saber más de lo que en realidad tenía conocimiento. A veces incluso decía que no sabía, que no estaba, que no escuchó. Así que simplemente se limitaba a comentar sobre lo que ella había presenciado o tenía, digamos, algún respaldo, y eso es un indicador de credibilidad. Ahora a Donald Trump solo le queda atacar la credibilidad de la señora Cassidy, porque pues no tiene otra opción. Es la última acción de una persona que está tratando de evadir la responsabilidad en un caso, porque lo que dijo ella fue bastante consistente con lo que dijeron los otros testigos, así que es algo bastante sólido cuando todo se une, los testimonios y los argumentos que usan ahora Donald Trump y sus aliados son de personas simplemente desesperadas.
Teniendo en cuenta la grandísima influencia de Trump entre los republicanos, ¿cómo se vería afectado el partido ante todo esto y, pues, hipotéticamente hablando, ante un caso judicial contra el expresidente? Mr. Goldman, taking into account Trump's huge influence over the Republicans, how do you think the party would be affected by all of this? And hypothetically speaking, you know, about a prosecution against the ex-president, is their reputation at stake, you think?
Well, I think that the fact that the Republican Party, the members of Congress especially, who have bent their knee to Donald Trump and remain under his control, just demonstrates the lack of substance and the lack of direction that the Republican Party has. If you have to align yourself with a disgraced ex-president who was impeached twice and very likely committed a crime to try to stay in office, you're losing. And that's ultimately what the Republican Party is right now. And they have a very big choice to make. Are they going to stay by Donald Trump's side because they're worried about their own election? Or are they going to stand up for what is right? Are they going to stand up for their country over their party? And that's a big question. And I think a lot really remains to be seen about whether or not the Republican Congress will, the Republican members of Congress will recognize that Donald Trump is a toxin to our country and our democracy, and whether they separate from him or whether they continue to support him and support the big lie, which is so clearly a big lie that Donald Trump continues to promote. We'll have to see.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Daniel Goldman, for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Grace, and yes. Good luck to him in elections. Yes. He will be in elections very soon.
That's true. Good luck.
Yes, I'm running for Congress in New York City, the 10th District, Lower Manhattan and Brooklyn. And part of the reason I'm running is exactly what we've been talking about. Donald Trump and his Republican Party are a tremendous threat to democracy. And as you mentioned at the beginning, I led the impeachment investigation of Donald Trump. I have stood up to him and the Republicans before, and I'm trying to get back down to Washington so that I can do that again and preserve and protect the great democracy that we have in this country. So thank you so much for having me join you.
And good luck on elections, and we hope that you can win again. Mr. Goldman se despedía al final, y yo interrumpí a Grace porque este es un candidato muy fuerte. Grace, en su libreta, anótelo. Anótelo porque va a llegar al Congreso seguro por Lower Manhattan y Brooklyn. Eso es el Distrito 10 de Nueva York. Así es de que va a tener mucha influencia en Washington, a donde quiere llegar para parar a Trump. Eso fue lo que dijo, ¿no?
Sí, señor. Dice que le preocupa mucho el expresidente Donald Trump, el Partido Republicano, y por eso quiere llegar nuevamente al Congreso. Y con respecto a la pregunta anterior del futuro del Partido Republicano y la influencia que tiene Trump en ese partido, dice que eso es una muestra, que lo sigan respaldando al expresidente. Al expresidente Trump es una muestra de que los republicanos y los miembros republicanos del Congreso les falta sustancia, que no tienen dirección en este momento, y que alinearse con él, con un expresidente que ha enfrentado dos juicios políticos, que trató de cometer un crimen, o aparentemente trató de cometer un crimen para quedarse en el poder, ya pues de entrada para ellos el Partido Republicano está perdiendo. Entonces es la gran pregunta, ¿van a quedarse al lado del expresidente Donald Trump? ¿Les preocupa su elección o van a defender lo que está bien, lo que le conviene al país, lo que le conviene al partido? Dice que esa es la gran cuestión en ese momento y lo que se tiene que ver, porque los miembros del Congreso, los republicanos, deben reconocer que el expresidente Trump es una toxina para el país, que es bastante tóxico para el país, para la democracia, y pues tienen que separarse de él por el bien de los Estados Unidos.